Do you find joy in giving? And is it impossible to outgive God? Pastor Jeske is going to answer those questions today on Time of Grace.
One of the songs from Cabaret featured Joel Grey coming out, and he had a bunch of chorus girls behind him singing, "Money, money, 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 money," and then he sings, "Money, money, money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around." Remember that song? Money really does make the world go around. And it's a great power, like food, like sex, like all the other things God has invented to bless us, can equally turn 180 degrees and be something really horrible. Whatever it may be, medicines and pharmaceuticals can turn into drug slavery. Alcohol, which can provide a very pleasant experience at a meal, can turn into a beast and turn into a slave master that destroys people's souls. Money is equally capable of both of those extremes. It can either really help you in your stewardship, your personal role of existing on this earth, or it could become a terrible god that you worship and destroy things and people around you, and ultimately can even destroy yourself. So, where does that leave us? It leaves us with the fourth and final part of what I call money talk, to try to help us develop a healthy relationship with money, so that rather than becoming addicted to it, rather than using it as a tool of manipulation of other people, rather than becoming a selfish, comfort-driven pig who is only thinking about me, 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 we can use the financial resources God has given us and is giving us now and will continue to give us as ways to carry out our role as His managers and stewards of His stuff on this earth. 3 weeks ago, I launched this little Bible study to help you consider the concept that although money is very addictive, yet the Bible calls it a blessing of God. And I gave you my encouragement, and you could hear encouragement from the book of Proverbs, that accumulation of assets is not dirty. Money is not like filthy lucre. Accumulating it and building up your family's financial wealth is not an evil thing in and of itself. And I encourage you to earn as much as you can, not to be abusive or greedy about it, but simply to be ambitious and to try to accumulate resources. This is not evil in and of itself, because it gives you choices for how you're going to use your life and helps you to do more than just keep yourself alive, but enables you to have a role in generosity in your community and church as well. Second, 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about borrowing and lending, both of which are necessary features of human life, but both of which have serious risk attached to it. And most Americans, I would say, carry debt. At least half of you are staggering under some very bad debt, and you're really in a hole. And man, it was probably not necessary, and you probably weren't as savvy about money when you got into it. But especially consumer debt, which is unsecured, which has nothing to connect it to, meaning borrowing for your education and borrowing for stuff, the stuff you charge on your credit card, can be a very addictive, almost like a drug, that can get you twisted up into such deep knots. You are miserable, you will make your spouse and your family miserable, and it might disrupt your relationship with God too. So be careful about your borrowing and lending. Last week I talked to you about the dangers of consumerism, of materialism, the appetites within that want stuff. And this can be a beautiful thing. Is it wrong in and of itself to want beautiful things for your home? No. Go for it. Knock yourself out. However, if you get to a point in your life where you're unbalanced in your spending, if you're spending more than you're taking in, you have a problem. If you are spending so much that you have nothing to give to the Lord when you come to worship and you come with empty hands to church, you have a problem. So being careful of your spending and your acquisitiveness is a problem. But so is saving. Most of us need encouragement to save because it's learned behavior and because it goes against our instincts to acquire stuff, to pamper us and acquire things. It takes some real discipline to set up a plan of saving and investing, to stick to it and prepare for the day when you can't work anymore and you need now to eat, live off the corn that you've built up in your tree trunk like a good squirrel. And that is hard to do. Saving is a big deal, and Scripture gives you a lot of encouragement to do that, and it's a blessing. Today, I'd like to consider the fourth piece with you, the fourth and final piece, and that is our generosity piece. Not what we're spending on ourselves, but what do you give away? What do you give away in your offerings to God? What does that say about your view of Him and your view of your own personal role? And how to be generous with other people. God has placed you here in a world full of need as His agent. But how? See, that's the question. First of all, is that part of my job as a Christian? And secondly, then how do I do that to help and not hurt other people? So let's dig into the Word. Grab your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. I hope by now you've started to notice, if you've caught other messages in this series, that the book of Proverbs is an absolute goldmine of instruction on how believers live. Now, if you go to chapter 3, we're going to see that the key to having a healthy attitude towards money in regard to our generosity impulses is all based on putting God in the middle of our lives where He belongs. And that also is learned behavior because of our sins, we're always, every day, there's an impulse to push God so far away you can't hear Him anymore, you don't see Him, you don't think about Him. You live a perfectly full, busy, crazy life completely without Him. And one of the things we do as Christians through our daily prayers and devotions is to re-engage and get God back in the middle where He belongs. And that's step one in any strategy for being healthy with our money, is to put God in the middle. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. After all, is He not the creator of all things? If you say, my money, that's really a lie, because really it isn't your money, is it? It's really His. The Lord says in Psalm 50, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I invite you to give me offerings and sacrifices, not because I'm hungry. If I was hungry, I don't need to ask you. I allow you to participate in my game. You're not letting me into your life. I have let you into mine. You're not owning your little world, and you maybe decide if you want a God around or not. The world and all you can see are my creation, therefore my ownership. I created you. You are my handiwork. Now, how are you going to act? Are you going to carry out your role as one of my agents, as one of my managers in my company, as one of my stewards? Or are you going to get greedy and everything you can get your fingers on you think really belongs to you? Jesus told some incredibly powerful parables about stewards who looked at their boss's money and said, mine, and terrible curses and judgments were meted out to them. Put God in the middle. This is what makes giving offerings to God so much fun. First of all, it's true. It aligns with the truth. Every time we align with the truth, our lives get better. Every time we throw in our lot with lies, things get worse. God is the owner, is the creator of all things. Second, that makes Him the owner. Third, what's not to love about Jesus Christ, a Savior, who though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. God loves it as you do better in life. He claps and cheers for you, but not so that you turn inward and get twisted about it, but just to make you a more effective agent in His business, the business of the rescue and care of other people. How can you not love a Savior who gave everything in order to restore your citizenship in his family? This is one of the secrets of generosity to God. It's really fun. Because it's fun to give such pleasure to a God who has given so much to us. It's a joy. Scripture says God loves joyful givers, and how can it be anything but that? The fourth component that makes this fun is that there is what God calls the stewardship guarantee. You can't outgive me. You can't outgenerous me, because I can give it back to you faster than you can give it to me. But I want you to go first. I want it to be initially a sacrifice, meaning you're letting go of something that you could really have used for yourself, and it might even pinch, because not just the wealthy are invited to be givers, but the gift that Jesus Christ himself praised most highly in all of Scripture was 2 cents that a widow threw in, which might have bought her a piece of bread for the day. And she chose to go hungry in order to express her love and appreciation to God. And instead of saying, lady, quick, stop that. Keep your 2 cents. God's not so broke that he needs your 2 cents. Jesus was saying, do it, woman, do it. You will get far more back than you have ever given in that way. This is God's promise. You only experience it if you actually do it, is that God releases resources when he sees our generosity. Don't believe me, believe God. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Go first, even when it might make you afraid or pinch. That's why it's called a sacrifice, because you're giving something up, and you're giving it first. My parents have blessed me incredibly with these insights. I'm passing on to you stuff I've known for 50 or 60 years, thanks to the fact that God gave me Christian parents. Perhaps you've heard these things since you were little also. But my first recollection of the power and meaning of stewardship was in sitting in church one Sunday, and my mother gave me a dime to put in the collection plate. Throughout the entire service, she's smart enough to have given it to me at the beginning of the service. She wanted me to think about it for a while. Honestly, I was sweating as I looked at that dime. Now, a lot of you big people are thinking, oh, right, a dime, what a stupid kid. When you're 7 or so, and back in the day, back in the 50s, a dime, you know what you could get for a dime? Not one, 2 packs of baseball cards. With a big pink wad of gum in each pack. And I just knew that at the dime store, the 2 packs waiting for me to buy with that dime, one of them for sure had some Milwaukee Braves in that pack of cards. So I sat there the entire service sweating, thinking of what I wanted to spend that money on. But when the plate came by, I was aware that her eyes were on me, and she wanted to see the coin leave my hand. I had seen enough magic tricks to figure I might be able to pull it off, that I could palm it as the plate went by and just pretend to put it in there. But I put it in and let go. Okay, now looking back, I had a ton of baseball cards as a kid. Giving God that dime did not deprive me of any baseball cards. I still have them. If you come to visit me at my house, I'll show them to you. The fact that by giving God that dime, it just made God smile, and he opened up the spigot, and lots of other cards came to me in other ways. And I hold that out to you too, perhaps a dumb little example, but I've learned, I'm older than most of you, and I have learned now, I'm telling you this not just to yell at you, I'm telling to encourage you, especially if you're young and you haven't experienced this much for yourself. You cannot outgenerous God. Your barns will be filled to overflowing when you honor the Lord with your first fruits, when you go first, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Man, farmers back in the day had a lot of stress. See, there was almost no way 2,000 and 3,000 years ago to store food because it's spoiled. Storing up grain was pretty much one of the only ways you could have food that could go from one season to the next. Grain was dry, but eventually that would start to rot and mildew and decompose as well. There were limits even to that. So the farmers knew we're always just this close to drought and starvation. The rainfall was very sporadic and iffy in this part of the world. Missing the seasonal rains even one year would stress out the entire food system of the entire nation. Two drought years in a row, and there could be such famine that people would have to go into exile, maybe never coming back. You don't know what that's like, but these people did. So for a farmer to give the first fruits was a colossal act of faith in the stewardship promise that God's going to feed you. And by going first, you are worshiping me. You are saying that you believe that it's true, that I will fill up your barns when you put me first, when you trust and honor me in this way. So let me encourage you to look at your giving life is not just for other people or old people or rich people or something. It is something for a healthy attitude with money, that it is an important part of acting out and living out your relationship with God, regardless of your situation. Even if you're 7 years old and have no income except for what people give you, and even if you have a dime in your pocket as I did then, I encourage you to send this message of love, appreciation, and confidence to your God in this way. And as a bonus, the amazing ministries that result by investing in ministries through your congregation or other types of mission or outreach organizations only bring back to you the huge blessings and appreciation of God, and He will then send you more so that you can do more. I have a dear friend named Steve who's working farther and longer than I thought he would have to. And I asked him once, having a little beverage outside of a restaurant and a pleasant summer night about 2 years ago, and I said, how come you're still working? I'd have thought you'd be sitting fishing in some lake someplace up north or gone down to Florida or whatever. It's like what older people like to do. And he smiled and laughed a little bit, and he said, no, I'm still working. I love giving away money. And this helps me do that. Just helps me give away more money. And I thought, wow, he has figured it out. He has found the joy of the convection cycle of generosity. This includes generosity toward each other. I'd also like you to take a little look, if you turn in your Bible a couple of chapters later to chapter 11. There are a couple of very powerful verses that encourage generosity towards human need around you. Proverbs 11, verse 24 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. See, the generosity convection cycle applies to humans helping humans, people helping people as well. Another withholds unduly. That's kind of flowery poetic language for calling somebody a cheapskate or a miser. A skinflint, we call them. A Scrooge, but they come to poverty. The more you hold on for yourself, God makes that turn to sand in your hands. A generous hand just makes it boomerang right back. A generous, verse 25, a generous person will what? Prosper. Whoever refreshes other people will himself be refreshed. People curse a person who hoards grain. The misers and skinflints have no love. Nobody loves them. Blessing crowns him who's willing to sell. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. And righteousness in this context means people who are not dead ends for God's amazing resources, His love, His gospel message, and His financial blessings. They let it flow through. And the irony is that doesn't impoverish you. In fact, you will have, like my friend Steve, you will just have more and enable you to be even more generous. Why should we be surprised? That's what St. Paul told the Corinthians. You will be made rich in every way, he says. The one who gives bread to eat and seed to the sower will multiply your financial resources when you show the convection cycle of generosity and help other people. Now, how you do that, this is a little trickier thing. I'm not saying pull out a $20 bill for every panhandler you see on the street. Sometimes when there's no relationship, when there's no community, we can hurt people. I hurt a man I thought I knew. He said he was really struggling and needed $20. And I did have a relationship with him. I thought I knew him. I gave him the $20, and I never saw him again. He had been worshiping here, and then he disappeared. 2 years later, he came. He found me in my office during the middle of the day. Looked like a completely different man. Worse, not better. He pulls a $20 bill out of his pocket, and he said, "Here, you gave me this 2 years ago. I lied to you. I went straight to the dope man." He was so ashamed of his weakness that he couldn't even go to church anymore. That's what this does. I enabled him. Carol kind of gave in to a tale of woe from somebody who came knocking on our door, and she thought it was the guy who was doing some painting for our neighbor, and sure enough, it was. And he told her a great yarn that I, Mark, had told Carol, I was broke, but Carol should give him some money. And she thought, holy cow, if my husband said I was supposed to. So she rummaged around in the house and came up with some money to give him because he had a tale of desperation. And he couched it as a loan. He just needed to borrow the money. She came by a week later and no painting was getting done in the house. And so she asked Larry, the owner, "Where's your painter?" And he said, "Well, lady, did you give him money? I bet you did, didn't you? Did you give him some money?" She said, "Yeah." And Larry said, "He overdosed. He's dead." I got a better idea. Rather than giving it to people with cardboard signs or panhandlers in front of Walgreens, I got a better idea. Spend some energy and research the organizations in your community that deliver help to people, that will get them help, not become a crutch for their addictions, or to continue in a string of bad decisions that are messing up their lives. If somebody's holding up a sign saying homeless veteran, give them a lift over to the Veterans Center. We have an entire massive organization dedicated to the care and well-being of our veterans. And your taxes are paying for much of that. Get familiar with where the food resources are in your community so that you can connect people where there are food and clothes. Support organizations that help the homeless. If that's on your heart, then volunteer for a shelter or give a shelter some money so that people who truly have nowhere to go have a safe place to crash, especially if they are vulnerable or have children. And in this way, you will help get help to people and will not further their addictions as those two terrible, sad experiences have that I still feel a lot of guilt over. But don't let your suspicion of getting conned turn off your generosity. But instead, just be smart in your generosity. And as you find the joy in being generous with God, find the joy in investing in your community and people helping people to lift them up and get them on the right path. Invest in schools to help people get a good education, which is the number one key out of the hole of the cellar, isn't it? And in this way, you are participating in a convection cycle that will give you a thrill to be functioning as God's agent in this temporary time on this earth until he kicks open the doors of heaven and welcomes you home. This is good news for God's people. May God inspire you to love being generous to him. In his name, amen.
When I was a child, maybe about 10 or 11 years old, I remember going to my cousin's softball game and I was bored silly. And so I'm walking along the fence line just trying to do something and I spot on the ground a $20 bill. I couldn't believe it. I ran over, grabbed that money and went jogging over as fast as I could to my aunt, showed her the money And you know what she said? John, God gave you that gift. You should give a bunch of that back to him. Oh, it hit my heart. It was one of the first times I struggled with sharing and giving to others. And as now I've grown and matured in my faith, I see something pretty boldly. You can't outgive God. God gives and he gives and he gives so generously. And when we are generous to others like he's generous to us, more blessings in an amazing way comes from God. And that's exactly what Pastor Jeske just shared with you in today's message, the encouragement that God gives to you to give to others, to be generous to others, and to be generous back to him as God gives to you. So I'll be back with you to pray in a moment, to ask God for the strength to do that every day in our lives.
Did you realize that your money really isn't yours? It's God's money, which is why it's so important for us to be responsible with the money God has entrusted to us. Learn how to do this with Pastor Mark Jeske's book, Money Talk, proven principles from God's Word to help you operate in His financial wisdom. Break free from the lie that money makes the world go round and discover what happens when you view and use money God's way. You'll receive a copy of Money Talk as thanks for your donation today to help reach more people with the timeless truths of God's Word. Call the number on your screen or visit our website to learn more.
Let's open our hearts to God in prayer and ask Him to help us to be generous, to give to others, to Him, as God gives to us. Let's pray. Lord God, I need you. Oh, we all need your help. Because this is something that just doesn't come naturally to us. We're selfish. We're self-focused. When we see money, when we get money, whether we find that $20 bill or some money on the side of the road, whether we work hard at our job, a job that you allowed us to have, a job that you gave us ability to have, yet we want to spend all of that on ourselves and then some more. Lord God, help us to realize that we can't outgive you. Help us to realize that when we're being generous to others or being generous to you, we're actually showing how you are generous to us by giving us that blessing in the first place. Lord God, thank you for the most generous gift you've ever given in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his forgiveness that washes away all of our greed and all of our selfishness and fills our hearts then with a joy that wants to give, just wants to give. Unlock that for us, God, and help us to see in your own unique way how we can't outgive you. Thank you, God, for that blessing. Give us strength to follow through. In your name we pray. Amen. For Time of Grace, I'm Pastor John Enter. It all starts now.
It all starts now. Mm-hmm. It all starts now. Time of Grace. Just now.
The preceding program was sponsored by the friends and partners of Time of Grace.